Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Draw right circle. Blues win it. High slot, Parayko. Wrister blocked again. This one by Nordstrom. 8 seconds left. Corrali fires it off the glass. Five. They battle for it. Parayko, right circle. Centers deflected. Rask the save. Shen digging away as Achari buries him. And the horn is going to sound. Rask pulls himself out of there. The Boston Bruins roar back with four unanswered goals. And they win game one of the Stanley Cup Final by a of 4-2 over the St. Louis Blues.
All right, let's get into it. Felger, Maz, Murray, Stewart, Lanny, fully loaded program here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Your thoughts on last night, Anthony?
I mean, look, it was what we expected in the first period. They were sluggish. They were, you know, they weren't sharp. A lot of loose passes, all kinds of stuff. The energy wasn't there, all of it. And I watched it again on TV. I was in the building last night, as you know. And in the building, it felt worse than it did on TV. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because I knew what was coming, or, you know, but it didn't feel as bad watching it on TV as it did in the building. In the building, it felt lifeless. Like, you're just watching them going, good God. But to their credit, again, they just keep going. They keep going. They play themselves back into the game. They tie it up. They go ahead. They win. Boom. End of story. And so the Blues are even, I mean, you know, I'm sort of all over the map here. The Blues are even more plotting and methodical than I thought they were. And if they leave any creases like they did last night and the Bruins get them on their heels, the Blues are going to have a hard time. They're not going to be able to keep up. So, you know, it's not often that we say, and again, it's one game, so I'm making a lot of judgments on one game. But if we're talking about last night, it's not often that we look at an opponent like that and say the Bruins are faster, the Bruins are quicker, and the other team's going to have a problem keeping up if they're not careful. But, you know, for the Bruins to win that game, the way it started, they get the W. Now, you know, now I think you're going to see the better Bruins going forward.
Can't hit what you can't catch, and that's what the Bruins were when the rust came off. And more than anything else, you know, you have no idea how happy I am we're not going to do 4 hours of rust talk, because with the first period, I thought we were going to have to, because that was real. And I was so mad that that was real. I figured it was going to factor in a little bit because they were off for so long. But holy crap, like, they looked like nowhere near what they were, especially in the series of the Eastern Conference Finals against Carolina, and especially the top line. That was my biggest concern. I said it yesterday again going into it, that you were going to see rust on the top line, specifically with a guy like Brad Marchand, who knows what he's dealing with. Maybe it's the hand, maybe it's something else, but he didn't look great at all in that first period. So thankfully that went away, and I think the Bruins were dominant once they tied it up. And there was, I don't know, it felt like, to me, like the Blues not only were slow, they got tight. And I think you saw some of that with Binnington too. Like, I think you saw that leakiness a little bit that we talked about with him, because the McAvoy goal, and granted, it took like a weird, like, wiffle ball type action on that puck a little bit, but to me, that's one I felt like he should have had.
Well, I definitely want to get into the styles of it that Maz started to talk about. I think it's important in this series and in this matchup. But I just think at first blanche, my opening thought is that I think that was a big win. A big win, a big one, is what I meant to say. But both of them. And I know that sounds kind of stupid. It's the Stanley Cup Finals. They're all big. I felt that whoever lost that game, that was going to be a hard loss, and for different reasons. If the Bruins had lost that game, you sit there and you say, you outshot them, you know, 2-1, basically, 38-20. For most of the game, it was, you know, up until that last 5 minutes or so of garbage time, it was, I think, 34-14. You held them to 3 shots in the second period. You totally dominated the second 40 minutes, and you didn't win. And you had all those chances, and you hit those posts and all those loose pucks in front of the net that you couldn't convert, and you lost. Oh, that's going to leave a mark. It's going to be tough. That's going to be a tough loss. And if St. Louis loses it, you sit there and you say, you had a 2-0 lead. You had a 2-0. You walked into their building. They got off to a slow start, as expected. You took advantage with a 2-0 lead. And I don't know what the win probabilities are there at 2-0 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I bet they're really high. And you lost that game. You had them. This was your chance to walk in game one and take one. And you lost it and you blew it.
Especially with the Bruins having 11 days off.
And I think that there was St. Louis's opportunity. And part of me wonders, is this sort of a redo of what happened with Carolina, in that Carolina came in here in game one, controlled large portions of that game, took a lead in the first period. It was theirs to take. And the Bruins ended up worming their way out of that win, and they went on from there. And Carolina never really recovered. There was your shot, and you lost it. There was your shot, and you didn't get it. And does that leave a mark for the rest of the series? And I wonder if that's what's going to happen with St. Louis. If the Bruins had lost, I might have said the same thing, that you outplay them to that degree. You outshoot them 2x, 2-1, and you're going to lose game one at home. So I thought the loser, like, that was sort of a – that's going to leave a mark kind of loss. And I think that has a chance to be a leave a mark kind of loss for the Blues.
See, I went in feeling if the Bruins lost the game, though, that I wasn't going to be overly alarmed. Now, the way that it went, you make a fair point. Like, you know, they took the game over. I mean, they took the game over. And then to get ahead, like, you know, somehow that went the other way.
Well, and let me add, you get handed 5 power plays to their 2. You get, you know, the clear benefit of the officiating. And so you have all those, you know, they give you all those man up opportunities. You don't take advantage, you outshoot, and you walk away with a loss in that game. That would have left a mark on the Bruins, just like I think it is a chance to leave a mark on the Blues.
I'll tell you, if I were on the St. Louis side, I'd be a little more worried. And not just because it's 1-0, but because it was all lined up for them to get the first one.
And Mike's right to say that there were similarities there, I think, to that Carolina game, the first one here, because it's like they were outplayed.
You had them.
For the whole first period, for the minute or so in the second, and it's like, okay, the Bruins aren't watching that first period. They're not even in the game. They're getting killed. They're down 2-0, and you lose. Ugh.
So I need to see a little bit more of the Blues. Okay, I need to see a little bit more of it. I mean, they were a resilient team, right? They got a horrible break in the San Jose series. They came back and won the next 3. So I don't sense that they're kind of the kind of team that will roll over.
So they're 5-2 in the postseason after a loss.
Okay, and I think that going into last night, I want to say they were like 8-1 when they scored first. Or something like that.
Yeah, and if you look at, I think of scoring the first 2, they had won their last 15 playoff games going back to whenever. So you're up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you got to win that game.
Oh, yeah, you got to bury that one. There's no two ways about it. So, like, now, but I want to see what it looks like going forward. The thing is, too, is, you know, you get 2-0, what's the strength of your team? Your defense, right? Your defense, and you give up, well, 3. I was going to say 4, but it's really 3. So, you know, that one, there's no question. If I were on this St. Louis side, I would look at that and go, boy, that's, you got to get the next one now, because otherwise, who knows?
Okay, I mentioned the officiating. Did it help the Bruins?
It should have helped them more than it did, but yes.
Did the Bruins buy a couple calls? Were they embellishing?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, a little bit. I think that's fair to say.
Yep, absolutely. And again, the Clifton one, which was the one that led to the power play goal that McAvoy scored to tie the game, right? It was a penalty, but... he knew it. Watch it. If you watch the replay of it, again, I watched it this morning. Because live, I saw the hit and I went, oh, they're going to call boarding or cross-checking or something there. And then I went back and looked, and you can see Clifton sort of peering out the side of his eye like he knew he was coming. He was waiting for the hit and he was going to sell it. So he absolutely sold it. No two ways about it. As did Backes. Absolutely they did. No two ways about it. And... you know, again, I would tell you that in both instances, I think they were probably penalties. But the Bruins were clearly looking to get them, too. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, heat of the moment in the building, I was like, out of my mind, like most people were. But having rewatched it this morning, it's like, oh, yeah, no, those were kind of sell jobs, especially the Backes one.
Okay, so I still haven't seen a good angle that shows it to me. I'm not on Twitter, so I know, like, there's all these clips and GIFs and whatnot. So maybe you can show me in the break. An angle, but the conventional TV angles, I still can't tell if it's his stick or it's his glove or what it was. I still haven't seen a good angle of it.
Which one, on Backus?
Yeah.
So I thought it was his stick again, but I didn't see a super close replay. But, I mean, he got his hands and his stick up there. And you do that, you're going to get called, I think.
So I don't like it. I don't like the flopping around. I don't. I don't like it when others do it, so I don't love it when you do it. You know, that said, were the Bruins just smarter about it? We talked about it in the pregame, and I think Judd Surratt mentioned it in the pregame. The officiating last night, you know, those who follow these refs and grade these refs, Kelly Sutherland and Kazari, and Edzo talked about this too. Those guys call it close. They call it tight. They blow a lot of whistles compared to other officials. So you come in, and the whole trend here in the league is that they call it more like the regular season than they ever have. Frustratingly so. I don't like that direction. But they do, and we've seen it in past rounds. They treat it sort of like a regular season game where penalties are penalties, especially with these officials. And so did one team realize it and the other team not? And that's one way to sugarcoat saying you were flopping. But then again, I have a hard time. I still want to see the Backus one. I mean,
I thought the Blues made stupid mistakes, though.
Whether it was the stick or not, then he gloved him in the face in open ice right in front of the ref. And same with Clifton at center ice in front of the whole world.
And no need for Sundquist to hit him there.
Those were not dangerous situations. They were in open ice in front of everybody. You should know these officials are tight. And you're going to commit those kind of penalties in open ice? Well, you're an idiot.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think the Sundquist one especially, because that proved to be the big one, right? I mean, that's what led to the McAvoy goal. And I looked at that one and said, okay, like, could you let that go? Sure. Yeah. But you know what? You should get 2 minutes there for stupidity. That's what you get. 2 minutes for stupidity. You know, 2 minutes, jackass, out for two, you know, sit in the box. Like, what are you doing? You're up 2-1. The guy's out at center ice. You're coming up behind him for crying out loud, or three quarters, right? Sort of from the side. But nonetheless, what are you touching him for?
And that team was so good about not taking penalties.
Oh, my God, idiot. What an idiot. I was looking at it going, you're a moron. Like, that is just a dumb, dumb penalty, whether he sold it or not. So that's when I look at it and say, come on. Like, you deserve to sit in the box just for being a Nimrod. Like, seriously, 2 minutes, Nimrod. Sit down. You're a jackass. Like, I can't express that enough, because I think for a team that's supposed to be disciplined, and they are, You cannot take that penalty. That is so. If Marchand did that, we'd be killing him.
Okay, officiating is part of the story, unfortunately, last night. Goaltending was not. It's almost refreshing. You don't really have to talk about the goalies. They were such a non-factor. At least yours was. I mean, meaning there's nothing Rask could have done about either goal, I don't think. I mean, what are you going
to
do?
And they had him dead to rights both times, right in front of the net, high slot both times.
So you can't even come close to blaming him for either of the goals. And the 18 saves, I didn't write down a single one.
Yeah, there weren't any. That's why.
I don't think there was a single high danger save that he had to make. And I don't know what the advanced analytics would show me, but I didn't write down a single, you know, highlight save that he made the entire game. Not his fault. He just, the Blues had 11 shots through two effing periods. And there was just very little action there. So, I mean, Rask was just a non-factor. Bennington, maybe a little more so. Now, should Binnington have had the McAvoy goal? I think Binnington is part to blame for the game winner, where the whole, not the entire whole sequence, but part of the sequence was Char flipped in a pretty harmless shot from the point that he tried to glove, and he dropped it. And that's how Achari and Corrali got, you know, got their hands on the puck and ultimately scored. So I think Binnington did sort of crack a little bit in this game.
Yeah, and you had me go back and look at that third one. I had forgot that he mishandled the one, the weak little shot from Char, and that's where, again, it just felt like there was tightness there, or maybe the moment was too big, something. But because that was the thing, I think, between those two, who was going to get leaky? And at least in game one, it did look like it was Binnington, because there was some of that before in some of these prior series for St. Louis.
He made some good saves in the first period. I mean, to the point where I said, you know, this guy's good. He's good. I don't know if he's great. I'm still where I was going into the series, which is, he's good. I don't know if he's great. That McAvoy goal, that can't go in. Not club side. Sorry. And it looked like it. Again,
there was a flutter to it or something.
It did. It caught, whoever the defenseman was, I don't know if that was Boomy, whoever. I think the puck hit the shaft of the stick. Then I think it hit Binnington's pad and kicked up a second time. So, like, when I watch it, I no matter how many times I watch it, though, I say, you got to make that stop. Stanley Cup Finals, you got to make that stop. Regular season game against Carolina, fine. But, you know, whatever, I don't like it then either. But in this game, at these stakes, you got to make that stop.
So maybe he did crack. He is a tough, competitive kid. Yeah, dirty, maybe even. You know, the shot he gave to Backus, the elbow to the head, tries to hook Marchand there, loses his equipment in the meantime. And I still don't understand why the officials blew the whistle on that. I mean, so there's a ton to get to. We just started. You want to join us? 617-779-0985.
Sports Hub. Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was so sweet to win, but it hurts to lose. Like, that'll never leave you. It's going to haunt me.
Here comes the Shin. He shoots, he scores! Braden Shin! Tarasenko shoots, he scores! Tarasenko! And the Blues, a minute into the second, have taken a 2-0 lead.
The second goal, it was my bad, you know, and it's not like they made a great play or something, you know. We know we have a lot of skills in our group, so we knew the goals would come eventually.
Corrali over the line, high slot, into the far circle. Center's deflected, they score! McAvoy wheels over the line, high slot. Shoots, he scores! Corrali shoots, he scores!
The focus for us, I think, is just playing our game, and we're good when we're skating and we're hard on pucks, and I think the physicality just comes out just naturally from some of our guys just to compete in us, and you saw that, like, with the hit from Torrey. And
Krull came in and just hammered by the Blues! I think that was Robert Thomas!
Glad I got a haircut a few days ago.
he just got a haircut a couple days ago, so it was looking pretty good.
Hey, they just showed Robert Kraft on the video board.
Oh, boy.
Man, there's some videos I guess he doesn't mind being a part of.
Oh! Held in by Marchand. Shoots, he scores! Brad Marchand got to the loose puck at the far point, and with the empty net, he drills it home to give the Bruins a 4-2 lead in game one.
Here, I think we picked up our game a little bit. We got a little more physical, and we started moving our feet, moving the puck, and we ended up spending more time in their end and didn't give them as much room, and I think that's kind of when we started taking the game.
Jimmy Stewart with his game one recap there with the whopper in the middle of it. That was a pleasant surprise. Give those St. Louis radio guys some credit. Good line. That's a good one. You're at the game. You saw it. I don't know if they showed it on NBC. Robert Kraft at the game. They showed him in the stands. And what did they say? Wow. That was nice.
Hey, they just showed Robert Kraft on the video board.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's some videos I guess he doesn't mind being a part of. To the score, 8:52 to go in the third. It was just two. That was slow hanging fruit.
Still pretty good. Still pretty good.
Oh, burn.
Yeah. Burn.
So they got a little too excited about it. I didn't need to hear that end part.
I was just joshing.
617-779-0985. Jeff in Nashville, lead us off.
Hey, guys. You know, I just wanted to say that, you know, this is what you get when you play three teams that have been in last place or out of the playoffs a few months ago. The Bruins... You said a couple weeks ago, Mike, that the cream rises to the top. You know, or maybe it was Tony. I'm sorry that you know these teams. It's a nice story and all these things, but then the cream rises to the top. The Bruins are clearly the better team. It might not be a sweep, but you know, it's and also Tony. I thought the Blues like to stay out of the box. That was one of the main things you said. You know, five times last night. But the Bruins are clearly the better team, and you know, if they played the real teams. It may be a different story, but, you know, they're clearly the better team. Thanks, guys.
Are the Bruins clearly the better team?
I mean, believe it or not, I'm leaning that way after game one, but I'm not going to make any final judgment on one game.
I mean, I felt that way going into the thing. So yeah. Nothing happened last night that would disabuse me of that.
So what the thing that I just wonder whether the Blues have enough skill up front. Like, again, I need to see more. O'Reilly, to me, was a non-factor in that game last night. You know, and so that was a problem for St. Other than the first line, I didn't notice the Blues forwards at all. I mean, not really. You know, I mean, here and there, whatever. But there was nothing consistent out of anybody but that Tarasenko line. Right? Those guys were pretty good. And Tarasenko, I think, is filthy good. But beyond that, the next three lines, I look at it and said, I didn't see anything. You know, all this depth that we hear about the Blues and everything else, the Bruins' fourth line was better. The Bruins' third line was better. Johansson was the best player on the ice.
Marcus Johansson was the best player on the ice.
He was awesome in that game. And again, now this was the opposite. It didn't translate as well on TV as it did in person. In person, every time he got the puck, it felt like something was going to happen. Every single time.
Well, I think he exemplified something that you also said before the game that turned out to be true, and that is that St. Louis decor, as big and as imposing and physical as they are, can you get to them with some of your smaller, shiftier forwards? And again, Johansson's listed at 6'1", but he sure doesn't feel that way the way he plays.
He doesn't play that way for sure.
He plays smaller and shiftier to me. And he, Marchand even did it a few times. There was a little bit of skating circles around. I mean, how many times did Johansson just slice through that defense?
I mean, over and over again. Really. And then, like, even on some level, right, McAvoy did it on his goal a little bit. Like, he was able to sort of pierce through there and get a good shot off. And, you know, it almost felt like a point of emphasis for the Bruins, right? Because look at, you know, Clifton pinched and got a goal there, and he was able to skate well in that game last night and get some room for himself. And he's not a big guy, so I'm wondering if there's something the Bruins can exploit there.
On the other hand, I think the St. Louis D is as advertised in front of their own net. I mean, your game winner came in front of their own net, but I felt all game that there were sort of rebounds and loose pucks and sort of action in front of the net, and you just couldn't convert.
Can't get at it.
Because you just, their stick work, their body work, whatever it is, you just can't quite get at it. They sort of box you out. And there was a lot of stuff in and around the crease that you just couldn't get to because St. Louis sort of locks it down in there.
I mean, and honestly, in the bits that I saw in San Jose, they did the same thing. So I don't think it was a one night thing. I think that's the Blues. Like the loose pucks in front there, you're not going to get them. Not most of the time. Now, I get Corrali kicked one onto his blade and put it in. But otherwise, there were bodies there, too. It's hard.
617-779-0985. Steven Barica. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Mike. Like you said yesterday, as good as this league is doing, I'm kind of embarrassed with these playoffs. The Bruins haven't lost in a month, right? They haven't lost in a month. And then they have these teams come in. The average listener can't even name three players on each team on the last three teams we played. You know, and I think the Bruins are way too skilled for them. I think Tuukka Rask hasn't been tested enough. And I think it might be cliche, but it's up to Tuukka. Tuukka's either going to win it or he's going to lose it.
Okay, Steve, there's some good analysis for you. And the average listener may not recognize him, which is why we strive for the above-average listener. That's what we look for. I will say this. The Bruins absolutely have been gifted a nice road. And they've absolutely been gifted a good field. There's no question about it. And if you just ignore that, you are stubborn or a homer, and you don't like the way that sounds, or it's just a fact. Many of the best teams in the league were blown out, and you had a nice road. None of your nemesis were here. And they were all gone. Most of them were gone after the first freaking round, for crying out loud. Where it's Tampa, Washington, Crosby and the Penguins. Hell, Montreal didn't even make the playoffs. So it was open up for you. So I mean, that's just a fact. You're also dominating. So it's not like you've been given these cream puffs and you're just eking by. You know, either way, could have gone either way with you and Carolina. Nope. Nope, you dominated. Could have gone either way with you or Columbus. Closer, but nope, you close them out in game six in their building with a shutout. You were the better team. Toronto was nip and tuck, but Toronto was the best team you faced. And I think that that's what mitigates it for me. They've won, is it nine straight now?
Eight in a row. Four of them on the road.
Which is the longest Bruins postseason winning streak since 1970, which was 10, and 1972, which is 9. So that's a list with some integrity. 70 and 72, they were pretty good back then. And so now you've ripped off 8 straight. So, again, you've gotten the nice road. You just have to accept it. If you're sensitive to that, I can't help you. It just is what it is. But, you're cleaning up on the competition.
Yeah, it's like 32-11 or something in those games, right?
Which tells me, you know, which is better than just leaking by those leakers.
Yeah, remember when the Bruins played Tampa Bay during the regular season? You said, boy, when Tampa kicks it into a higher gear, like, they're just impossible to keep up with. That's what some of these games have felt like. That when the Bruins all of a sudden go to another gear, the other teams can't go there. I mean, that's what it looked like last night when they kicked it up in that second period. The whole second period was played at that end of the ice. The Blues didn't even get down there.
Well, officiating was a part of that.
So that's true. That's true.
They got sent to the box 4 straight times, which is very rare at this level. Matt in New Hampshire on that part of it. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I definitely think that you're right on the officiating, but that's where the Bruins thrive in the playoffs, is being physical and getting in their faces. And there's a lot of interference calls, I think, that could be called in the regular season that they do not call in the playoffs. You can see guys hitting before the puck. I mean, even the Krug thing last night, just him getting in the guy's face and then him just pushing his face in the ice and ripping his helmet off and watch him just sprint down the ice and just bury that guy. I mean, that game was great last night. And another thing people don't realize is we've been grinding since Toronto, and they swept Carolina and they had a couple days off. And I think that showed in the first period, but they came back like the team that they were grinding and then the second and third period, and they let them have it last night.
Okay, Matt, on the officiating, yes, more goes in the regular season. My statement, and it's true, I'm sorry. It's closer to the regular season than it's ever been. It's not the same as the regular season. Okay, no one's saying that. But there's stuff called in these playoff games that we're just not used to seeing, and that's sort of the new NHL. And you're playing to it. You play to it. You've got that first line. You've got that power play. You've got guys who are helping those calls, and you're playing to the new league, and maybe St. Louis is. I think St. Louis is behind on a lot of things, in fact, that we will get to coming up. First, an update from Murray.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Up the middle, Clifton. Advanced on right wing for Backes. He'll flip it to the right of Binnington. And now we got a penalty as Backes took a swat from Edmondson. And Edmondson thought Backus was embellishing, and it's Edmondson who's going to head off.
We'll get a look at it on the replay. Pretty hard to tell real time. Edmondson no doubt thought he was embellishing. Backus got this puck. He's going to do a little soft chip in. Edmondson got him up pretty good. He got the stick up on him, two hands. While Backus was down, Edmondson came over and gave him another shot.
Holmeister with it. And he had his pocket picked by Clifton, who was in deep, and he has the Bruins on the goal, and Clifton got drilled. And Sundquist is going. And Craig Berube talked about his team in the pregame show being physical within structure. They've gone outside of the structure.
I don't know, you got to be able to throw that hit. We're going to call you a cross-checker.
So those are the two penalties you look at if you're on the St. Louis side. Bruins help him along, probably. I still want to know on Backus.
They definitely embellish, but it's both. I mean, like, that's one of those where I think they were both penalties, I think, but the Bruins also sold them. There's no two ways about it in my mind.
So I think the Bruins recognize, so you can say this is smart or weaselly. I'll accept either. I think the Bruins realize, maybe they realize who the refs were. Sutherland. And what's the other guy's name? Kazari. They call it tight. Maybe they knew it. Maybe they just know the general trend in the NHL is to call the playoffs more like the regular season. Maybe they know their power play is tremendous. And so it behooves them to help with the penalty calls. And St. Louis didn't quite get it. That's being kind. The other way to say it is that they were flopping around out there like the Canadians. We'll take either, in fact. I do like the fact that the Blues didn't really bitch about it after the game. Now, Edmondson clearly, in real time, maybe this was smart, really played up the fact that he thought that Backus was embellishing.
Immediately.
You know, and so, like, that's sort of calculated. It shows the whole building. It shows the refs. It shows the national TV audiences. This guy's faking. Even though it's really hard to tell if he was or not, by Edmondson's reaction, it's like he's immediately calling him a puss bag. And so that's sort of smart by Edmondson. That's sort of smart. But after the game, I still haven't seen one quote from him. I don't even know if he spoke in the post game. I did hear some others. Well, I mean, let's just start with the coach. Berube's asked about the five power plays, and, well, here's his answer.
You guys talked a lot about trying to stay out of the box against them. It's frustrating that you took five tonight. And
yeah, for sure. You know, it's obviously a big thing. We've been real disciplined most all playoffs, pretty much. We weren't tonight, obviously, with five penalties. We got to be better there.
Okay, Sib, not one thing about the officiating or soft calls or anything. Good for Berube. David Perron was asked if the Bruins embellished. He says, we know what we did. He didn't say anything about the Bruins. He said, we went to the box a little too much. We lost our composure. We're not getting to our game enough below the goal line and things like that. I think we're going to be a lot better in the next game. He says, I'm not going to judge the calls, but they did happen. We were in the box too much, and that gave them the chance to get their touches and kind of get their game going and shoot pucks on net. So, you know, I'll give the Blues credit. At least they weren't blaming the officials after the game. They could have.
Because, again, I think in both cases they were penalties. Like, there was a hook on, who was it, Bergeron earlier in the game, the second penalty of the game, I think.
Thomas.
I thought that was rinky-dink. Like, that one, I thought, if I were the Blues, I'd be pissed about that one. Like, come on.
It's just rare that you get four straight power plays.
Right. You never see it.
It's rare that it's 4-1 at one point and then 5-2. They usually, whether they're embellishments or real, you know, they usually try and get closer to even on the sheet, and they never really did. So that's rare, and I would not expect that to, you know, I'd get your PK ready in game two. I said after the fourth one, get your PK ready. You're going to have to kill off a couple here in the second half of the game, and you never really did. You just had that one in the third period where you got another break where you're killing the penalty in the third period, and Zdeno Chara snaps Bozak's stick in half, which is, in the regular season, a slash every time. If you slash down and break the stick, you're gone. And I think that was in the middle of their power play, and that would have given them a 5-on-3 down a goal in the third, and they let that one go. So I think you got another break on that one. I would not expect the breaks in game two. It's just usually the way that that goes. Back to your thoughts. Here's Mike in Florida on Sean Corrali. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. So I actually just looked up Corrali's free agency status. He's not up until 21, which I'm stoked about. But my point still kind of stands here. I think Corrali's playing out of his mind. He looks like a second-line center to me. And that's obviously, you have to put the right pieces around him. But I'd be interested to see what he could do with real shooting talent around him on a second line.
Okay. I mean, maybe he gets that chance at some point in his career. Isn't he perfectly situated right now as the energy, change of pace, winning plays, blah, 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 that guy?
I wouldn't mess with it.
That role guy? I mean, have you seen a better guy in that role?
No, he's been dynamite, really. And again, it's the consistency of it. You get night in, night out, really. There are very few games there where he had, you know, sort of bad games. There was that one game in the Carolina series, I think it was the first one, where he had two penalties, and I thought he didn't play great that night. But ever since he came back, he's been a factor. Hey, really, unbelievable. We said they've won, what, 8 in a row, right? It's 10-2 since he came back.
So it's just, I mean, you say you want to see him in a second-line role? He got 23 shifts last night. 23. David Krejci got 21. David Pastrnak got 22. So the time on ice was greater for those two guys. So I sort of do that to sort of prove the point that Crowley was thrown out there as much as anyone else last night.
See, this is one thing, though, that you give to me, you give Cassidy credit for. Like, he sees it, and he says, I'm going to keep sending this guy out there. And it felt like he did a similar thing with Johansson last night. I don't know what the numbers show you on Johansson, but I thought Johansson was out there constantly.
Johansson, 21 shifts.
I mean, he, again.
Johansson, 21 shifts, 16:47 of ice. David Pastrnak got 15:48.
Yeah, that's one of those where I can't say enough about what Johansson gave him last night. Really, what he's been like for the last however long it's been now. He is dynamite.
Skill.
He is really good. And, you know, the sad thing is they're not going to be able to keep him, right? Because it's not going to work. The money, what? But if you could ever keep that guy, oh, he is good. What a good player.
Let's pick up the coaching on the other side, and I also want to get to the style of the St. Louis Blues and how that fits in today's game. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass. On 98.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
After the second goal, you seemed to get away from the Bergeron-Shen matchup. Give me your thinking for that.
Wasn't going our way, EJ. It was that simple. You know, Bergie's line had a tough time finding their game tonight. The other guys were a little bit ahead of them in terms of their, you know, puck possession and so we've used Corrales' line all year against good lines. So we decided to maybe go that route. Worked out for us tonight. We'll reevaluate on Wednesday. Or Coyle's line, I thought they were having a good night too. So a little more offense against offense, and they had the puck a lot. So I think that's one way to contain good lines. And usually Bergie's line will have a lot of ozone puck possession, but for whatever reason tonight they weren't able to do it as much as they typically do.
Okay, so there's Cassidy on giving Corrales and that line all that ice time. There's a couple things there. One, Cassidy's willingness and openness to just say Bergeron's line didn't have their best night. They were behind some other guys. And just matter of fact, not ripping them, not afraid to ruffle any feathers or spill any secrets, just being asked a question like a human being and answering a question like a human being and kind of, sort of, just telling it like it is, even though it doesn't reflect super well on the guys that he's talking about on his team. There's just,
It's refreshing, isn't it?
Yes, that there's a coach that can actually do that.
Right. There's no bull crap. He's not trying to spin it or sugarcoat it or anything. And he's not, like you said, not ripping anybody. Just, hey, they didn't have a great night. What do you want me to tell you? So, you know, we decided to increase playing time for guys that were playing well.
It's just the reality of the situation.
It's life.
Shouldn't be any shame in that.
But how many coaches actually are able to just...
Oh, very none. Few. Do
none.
That. Very few.
So, and then, be you know, also to recognize it and take out the best line in hockey... Take them off the Blues' first line, which should be advantage Bergeron. It should. And it wasn't. The first two goals come against the Bergeron line and Pastrnak in that group. And then to throw the fourth line into that spot, I mean, that's just good coaching there.
Tremendous.
And Cassidy was asked, furthermore, what he saw from Crowley, and I thought his explanation really sort of helps us understand the whole idea there and what he saw and how that plays against the Blues. Go ahead, Jim.
This is what they do. You know, they possess pucks, they can skate, they play simple hockey. And I think against St. Louis, if you play north, especially, you know, for us being off as long as we were, we had to not get drawn into the fancy stuff, the east-west stuff, stuff that you're doing in practice because you don't have the competitive edge. And it showed on the second goal, you know, we just mismanaged the puck. Even the first one, we got a little loose. So at the end of the day, they're going to always play a a straight line game, and sometimes they get rewarded, sometimes they don't, but they always play the same way. So that's what they did tonight. They got rewarded by going to the net. They're always good defensively. Noel will add the physicality. I think going back to the previous question, we made the switch. We need to be a little more physical against that line. I thought they were able to deliver that too.
Okay, sort of basic, but I like the north, south, east, west stuff, especially on the power play. But in general, that first line, the Bergeron, Pastrnak, Marchand. How many freaking cross-ice passes and seam passes are they trying back and forth to each other that aren't getting through?
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page on this one.
Isn't it? You make you want to barf your brains out?
I wanted to slam my head against the glass last night. It was driving me bananas over and over, and especially on the power play. The Blues have huge defensemen, and they're going to collapse in the middle. So you've got big guys with long reaches and sticks and the whole nine yards. You're not going to get pucks through there.
God.
What are they doing? And the most frustrating part of it was that some of these passes were made by guys that had shots. What are you doing?
Oh, Pastrnak's the worst.
Oh, he is. Marchand's bad at it, too, the two of them. They think they're playing a game of ping pong there for crying out loud, and everyone else is just there to watch.
But they all did it. Bergeron, like behind-the-back passes, blind passes. Trying to slip it across the ice and through the seam, and oh my God.
Shoot the puck.
God.
Just shoot the effing puck.
So brutal. And so Cassidy, he knows the Crowley line. They're just
dump it in and go get it.
See puck, shoot puck, skate puck. And that's just what they do. And, maybe coming off that layoff, that's even more. And it's just sort of interesting. You can sort of see it in practice. What are you doing? A dipsy do farting around, and it maybe that's what you lose in the 11 days off. That what it takes, especially against a team like St. Louis, and he knows Corrali and that group's going to play that way. And so there he goes. He throws them up there.
I mean, because those other guys in practice, they probably get bored. Let me try this. We're screwing around here. Why not? I'll just try this. I thought Marchand sucked in the first period last night. I thought he sucked.
You think he was hurt?
At that time, I started to wonder. But then I saw that spinorama.
As soon as he did the spinorama, I think he started to feel himself a
little
bit.
And then I went, okay. Like, now we're talking. Like, now it felt to me like he was sort of locked back in again. And whereas Pastrnak, I thought, had his head stuck between his hip pads the whole night. It's like,
we had seen a lot of that in other series so far, though, with Pastrnak. With Marchand, yeah, I thought something was up. Or maybe it was just rust. Again, thankfully, you don't have to talk about all the rust today because it did feel that way, especially with Marchand in the first period.
I mean, it had to be a factor. They were just off so damn long. Like, I don't want to make an excuse for them. But I think we all knew going in it was going to be bumpy in the first period.
So Cassidy recognized it, made a change. There's other games and other series in this spring, in this run, where Cassidy is just stuck with that first line. So it's not like he does the same thing every time. Last night, for some reason, he said, nope, this time I'm not just going to ride those guys. I'm going to throw some others out there. And I told you, Johansson's ice time, more than David Pastrnak. The amount of shifts Corrali got, equal to, well, again, Corrali and Achari both got 23 shifts. Krejci got 21. Coyle got 19. Pastrnak got 22. Johansson got 21. So they, that was his call last night. It was the right call, obviously.
He's got a great feel, great knack for that kind of stuff. Really, it's good.
Curious about Berube. Still trying to get a read on this guy. This guy is about This guy is so fascinating at the podium. I think Bill Belichick listens to him and says, dude, could you lighten it up just a little bit? This guy, I have a heart. This guy's a lump of coal in your Halloween bag. Good God. Give me a Berube last night.
How did it derail in your mind?
Turnovers. Second period, I didn't think we skated very well. Also, penalties were part of it all. But second period, we got pucks and we didn't skate. Didn't advance them, turned them over, gave them momentum.
That's about it. That's about the best quote I could find for you from Craig Berube. This guy. Woof.
Well, team takes on the personality of its coach.
Let's get to that.
Okay.
How do you feel about the way the St. Louis Blues play?
I mean, again, more plotting and methodical than I could have possibly thought. It is so, you know what they remind me of? They remind me of like the old Bruins, like who just would dump it in, forecheck, try to get a turnover, and then jam one in.
I'm glad you said that, Maz. Because you know what? Then let's play this now. I know I had it for next segment. Let's do it now. I think, and this is, I sort of felt this way going into the series, that St. Louis is not explosive enough to damage you. I worry about the teams that can score off the rush against you, teams that skate out of their zone and take it, you know, wire to wire and play that sort of hockey. Possession, skilled, up and down the ice hockey. And those are the teams that scare me. Toronto. St. Louis plays this old-fashioned, dump it in, get on the forecheck kind of game. They're not explosive. They don't really want to generate tons of offense. They want to get a lead and then sort of sit back and grind it out and dump and chase. And it feels antiquated to me. And it feels like to me that plays to the Bruins' hands. And that's why I like this matchup going into it. And then you watch them play with their three shots in the second period, and they're constantly just getting to the red line or past the red line and dumping it in and trying to get on the cycle. And Maz says, well, this is like the 70s Bruins. Guess who loves the way the St. Louis Blues play? Guess.
Claude?
Here comes Coach's Corner. Worse. Even worse. You want the lunch pail AC? You want dump and chase hockey in the 70s? Don Cherry got into the first intermission last night on Sportsnet and replayed the Blues' first goal, which started with, I think it was Schwartz, with a long cross-corner dump that Chara absolutely got emasculated on by Tarasenko on a touch-up icing. Chara had no chance, got nowhere near it, and so that's how the whole play started, that Chara lost that race for the icing. And then it was like this classic thing, Cherry will describe it here, where one forward comes down one end of the boards, the other forward comes down the other end of the boards, they pinch, they forecheck, they get the puck, they score. Don Cherry whipped out his cherry last night when he watched this thing last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, before this series started, Maroon said something in the paper that I absolutely love. He said, we dump the puck in, and it must be tough on the defenseman to turn back and get the puck. And I kept that paper.
So stop. Because this is why I love this guy. Murray. He read it in the paper.
He loves getting those ink stains on his fingers.
And then he clipped it out and kept the paper. So this is when you know you're talking. Kids, for those of you who don't even know the newspaper, it's a little thing that used to come to your door and you would read it. It's not a tablet or a computer. It's not computerized. It's actually print and you would read it. Okay, that's called a newspaper. Cherry not only reads it, he keeps clipping of the paper. Go ahead.
Can get the puck. And I kept that paper because that's how the Bruins used to play. Wait a minute. That's how the Bruins used to play. We would dump. We wouldn't even look. And the right winger and the left winger put the puck in. If you're not there, it's your fault. I want to show you how the first goal can watch Schwartz. Never mind the 12 goals he got. Watch him put the puck in. He doesn't even. He sees the guy going. Watch his eyes. Look at his eyes. See his eyes? Now look, he ices the puck. He knows. Poor Chara's got to go back and get it like Maroon. Now watch the goal. Watch the goal coming up. That's how you play the game. What's that analytical?
The analytics.
Yeah. Stop. They might.
Sounds like me saying electricity.
He is so far away from the analytics. He needs help on the word. What do you call those again?
Now watch the goal. Watch the goal coming up. That's how you play the game. What's that analytical?
Keep going.
The analytics.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea to try, but it was perfect. Yeah.
But you give up possession of the puck. Yes, I heard that. I heard that over and over and over again. Don't you understand? You don't give it up. You put it in the net. Must have been a nightmare to play us like that, and that's the way to play it. Put the puck in. The winger's got to be going, just like Maroon said. That's how they're winning.
Okay, must have been a nightmare to play you in the 70s with all those championships, Don. Come on. But Don Cherry loves the way St. Louis plays. He says, forget Schwartz's 12 goals. Like, you're right, Claude, you know, took his pants off to this comment too. Never mind that Schwartz has scored 12 freaking goals. No, no, no. Watch how he dumps the puck. His eyes are up and he cross-corner dumps it. That's what gets Cherry excited.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.